1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call Craig at 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. CB Financial.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
KVOE News time is 8:55. That makes it Newsmaker 2 time here today. And we're pleased to have with us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line, David Traylor Zoo Director Lisa Keith, and also from the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks Disease Biology Department, Shane Hesting, joining us today.
Shane, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How's everything at the station today?
Doing all right. Lisa, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. It's a beautiful morning. Can't complain.
It is a beautiful morning. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about avian influenza. And really, before we start talking about some of the steps that are being encouraged here by Wildlife and Parks, just some of the concerns that you have here with avian influenza being reported about 50 miles to our east.
Well, sure. It's obviously a huge concern for us. Obviously, in zoos, we have populations of waterfowl and exotic birds. And so, of course, that's a huge concern for us. And so we have taken several precautions here at the zoo. We've moved a lot of our birds off exhibit that were in open air enclosures, the ones that don't have tops on them. So they've been moved into more secure locations. And we've started using other enhanced protocols and personal devices such as foot baths and things like that going into our other bird exhibits like our Eurasian black vultures, the bald eagles, those exhibits that do have closed tops on them.
Now, are all birds susceptible to this, Lisa? Or maybe we should go to Shane for this. I mean, are all birds susceptible? Is it, poultry top of the list? How's this work?
Yeah, all birds are pretty much susceptible, but it really affects domestic poultry the worst if it gets into chicken houses or commercial operations, backyard flocks. That's when you'll see a lot of die-off occur. Wild birds will often carry it without symptoms. We call that asymptomatic, and they'll carry it into different areas, and there's not much we can do about that as they migrate through the U.S. So, but we have had some wild birds get sick, and those are snow geese. Florida's had some lesser scop die of it in terns, but in Kansas we have snow geese dying in some places of it, and bald eagles that are feeding on those snow geese. And we had American pelicans that we've sent in, but we don't know if they've had it yet. So with three species from Kansas.
Shane, when it comes to this particular run of avian influenza versus others in the past, how virulent does this particular strain seem to be?
This one seems to be about the same as the one we had in 2015. I believe that one was H5N2. I could have that wrong, but this one is we're pretty sure this is H5N1 from Europe, and it's about the same as the one in 15.
You were talking with Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks Disease Biologist Shane Hesting and also Lisa Keith, the David Traylor Zoo Director, talking about preparations against avian influenza. Now, Shane, how deadly is this to the birds? I mean, is this something that once this starts spreading, death imminent? What do you see there?
Wild birds, like I said, will carry it. Some will die, some won't. But once it gets into poultry, it's pretty much over, game over, once it gets into chicken houses and domestic poultry. There's a lot to all this, so I'll try to make it simple. We need to know about those cases, wild birds and domestic poultry. The KDA number is 785-564-6601 for domestic poultry. If you have any chickens that are acting quiet, not eating, drinking, ruffled feathers, watery discharge, lethargy, drooping heads, and really sudden death of birds is a red flag. If you start seeing birds just die quickly in your poultry farms and backyard flocks, you need to call that KDA number. And that's also on the website. As far as wild birds, the public can call 620-342-0658, 620-342-0658, and report dead and sick wild birds. And once again, they're, most of the time it's poultry, backyard flocks that are really taking the hit. But in wild birds in Kansas, snow geese are dying. And we currently have a snow geese season in effect. It's called a conservation order, and that runs through 30th of April. And so hunters that are hunting need to be aware to take their boots off, clean their clothes, change their clothes, clean, and before, if they have backyard flocks, do not go in a chicken house with dirty clothes after you've been hunting, and do not clean snow geese at your farm. Clean those out in the field.
That kind of indicates that this is spread as much as anything by, say, literally foot traffic as opposed to maybe other methods. How does the bird influenza spread from bird to bird, or I guess in this case from person to bird?
Okay, it spreads various ways. The virus will live up to 2 weeks or more in cold water at a certain temperature. So birds that drink that water can get that. Birds interact with each other, pluck each other, prune. They can get it that way. Hunters, like I said, with goose feces or residues on their boots, they can track the virus into chicken houses that way or have residues on their clothes. That's basically how it gets around. It could be in dander that's airborne, but the virus itself usually isn't airborne. It's in something media or in some kind of fomite like a surface.
One other question here for you, Shane. Clearly, the David Trailer Zoo is taking some steps, and I'm going to assume that that's in coordination with what Wildlife and Parks has offered. What are some of the other steps here for facilities like the zoo here in Emporia to take that can at least reduce the risk of this spreading?
Yeah, I guess do not move birds. If people find birds, sick birds, report those birds to those telephone numbers I gave out. But do not move birds. If you see a sick bird, don't take it to a rehabber or to a zoo because they won't accept it anyway at this time. That's just going to spread virus around if they have it. Until you test something, you really don't know if it has it or not. But to err on the side of caution, we need to leave those animals out in the wild and just report those to us.
Great information there, Shane. And you know, a lot of people raise chickens. There's no doubt about that. Not only in town, but there are people raising chickens for the eggs and obviously for the meat all over the place. So people just need to keep an eye on it, Shane?
Yeah, I don't want to raise too much concern as far as humans go because there's no cases of humans at this time with this type of virus. There is an H5N1 that does hurt people, but it's in Asia. This is a different lineage of virus that branched off from Europe. And so that gets kind of complicated. But right now it's not considered a threat to people at this time. But please use caution and don't handle sick birds if possible, just to err on the side of caution.
Lisa, really one question for you is how long are your particular steps in effect at this particular point in time? Is there a set time period that you're looking at for possibly getting those birds back in, or is this really until further notice once you get maybe some guidance and clearance from the state?
We will wait until we have further clearance. We want to make sure that it's completely out of this area before we even take any chances of moving those animals back out into ponds where those birds have been.
So how many birds are we talking about, Lisa, that you moved?
Well, we moved all of our trumpeter swans, black swans, nenes. We tried to catch as many of the waterfowl off of the pond as we could. We do still have some birds out there that are pretty good at diving. I would guess there's probably 15 to 20 out back right now.
Well, you have birds flying in there too, do you not?
We do, yeah. We do, but they fly into the big pond there. That's why we decided to move the birds off exhibit and into more secure locations.
All right. Well, great information here this morning, and we'll, of course, post the story and keep you updated on any different movements that we hear about with the avian influenza. Before we let you go, Lisa, we haven't had you on the air since the big zoo auction less than 2 weeks ago. So have you had a chance to digest your big night, raising over $127,000?
You know, Ron, it was absolutely a shocking night. I have to say, I got pretty emotional. Cannot thank this community enough. Amazing.
Yeah, it was an incredible night. I've never seen anything like it, quite frankly, mm-hmm. from start to finish. It was go time to raise money for the zoo, and that is just a big, big night. And once again, this community steps up.
Again.
And steps up in a big way. So what a night. And before we let you go, Lisa, happy birthday to you today.
Happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Getting old.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Shane, hey, thanks a lot. That's great information here this morning. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to help, guys.
All right. Appreciate that very much. Lisa, have a good day.
You too.
All right. Lisa Keese, director of the David Traylor Zoo. And Shane Hestings. Shane is a Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks disease biologist. Knows his stuff.
Indeed. Absolutely.
And talking about the avian influenza, which has now been noted here in Kansas in Franklin County.
And we'll continue to keep you updated. Obviously, stories coming later today here on the Zoo's Steps and more information coming just because of how virulent this actually is. Tomorrow, the Newsmaker 2 slot shifts back to the normal time at 8:20. Doug Bierkus joins us to promote the Monkey Island Open and the Dynamic Discs Open Disc Golf Tournaments, which are pretty close to my end.
Pretty close. Our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th. CB Financial. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation.
Are you in the market to purchase a new vehicle?